Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message was recorded and produced at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Lord God, I just am grateful for this opportunity to be with friends and brothers and sisters, Lord, here in Blacksburg, and I thank you for the humbling opportunity it is to speak your word, and I pray, Lord, that you would, as we just sang, that you would lead me to the cross, that you would lead us to the cross, Father, as your spirit speaks through me, because otherwise these words won't matter. So I pray that you would remove me, that you would move tangibly here among us this morning, that you would open our ears and open our eyes to hear from you, to be moved by you, and be drawn closer to you. I pray this in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. So, one of the unfortunate casualties of our current culture of digital media and technology and reality TV, all of which I'm a fan of myself, is this rise of the superstar. So I know there's always been this level of stardom for those in Hollywood or the professional athletes and actors, but digital media has made it so that, like, really anybody can raise to this level of stardom. And really, if we're being honest, many of them aren't famous for any other reason than being famous. They know how to YouTube or blog or vlog or whatever. And so once someone becomes a household name, then what happens is it becomes easy to be drawn into their world, right? So whether it's a favorite sport team or NASCAR driver, if you consider that a sport, or a famous actor, or some of you just clocked me out. Anyway, actor, again, YouTuber, could be a pastor, could be a theologian. When they reach a level of admiration in us, or we see the culture starting to embrace them, what happens is we get drawn into them. And if you're on social media, what do? We follow them, right? We start to like what they post, and we start to share what they post. And really, if you really have issues, you get onto who they follow, and then you start following them because they follow them. And we're looking up to this person or this team or this group of people, right? I mean, it happens. Come on, you know you're guilty. Whether we're bored or whether we're just wasting time, we're surfing, and we're checking out their profile because we want to do research on their character. And so we're researching their profile, and we're scrolling and scrolling, come across a funny picture or a meme or a quote they said, and we go to like it. And in a moment, we realize, I can't like this because they're going to get notified that I liked it, and I'm surfing their profile from back in 2014. So then we're going to be that person, right? Anybody want to confess? There'll be some people in the back at the end of our time together. But that's, I mean, I've been there. I get it, and that's just how it is these days. And really, in and of itself, there's no harm done with that, right? I mean, we're just scrolling. We wanna follow people that have good character. So we're gonna check them out. We're gonna follow. I get it. But the danger is that subconsciously we start to feel, believe, and live like we know these people. I know this person. I've seen their profiles. I've seen their stats. I know this person. And what happens is this level of artificial intimacy is developed between you and whoever it is. We admire them, we look up to them, we want to be them at some level, whether it's a field or a sport or a gift or a strength or whatever it is. And then we use the words like, I love that person. Like we've done that way too often. And again, The reality is you don't know that person. And spoiler alert, when you look onto their profile and they have like 567,000 followers and they're following four people, they don't know you. They have no idea you even exist. And yet, all the while, in our mind and in our heart, there's this level of artificial faux intimacy that's growing. And again, there's nothing wrong, maybe, to doing this with the celebrity status. But what happens is, because it's just ingrained in our culture, it's way too easy to do this when it comes to Jesus. It's way too easy where we live to know just enough about Jesus, even as we heard in the story. I know the Christmas story. Been there. Attended all my life. I know the Easter story. I know bits and pieces about Jesus. I know he was a good man. He loved people. He showed grace. He did incredible miracles. And it's way too easy in our culture to stop at just knowing facts about him and neglect to truly ever encounter him and his grace. You get it? And what happens is over time, we get numb. We grow numb, or even worse, maybe indifferent to this relationship and this guy that we would in the same breath say that is our Lord and Savior. Doesn't make sense, does it? Jesus just becomes at that point a mythical man in our mind and in our lives, where we can just share a few miraculous stories, but he's not your Lord. You've never really ever surrendered in obedience to him, so he certainly is not your Savior. So today I just want to look at who Jesus is. I really want to just unpack who this man is that many of us in this room would say, he is my Lord and Savior. He's who I just sang to. He's who I'm placing my life and eternity in. And hopefully, we'll walk away with some challenges and some convictions about how we're actually living that belief out. So let's turn to John 15. We're going to be at the first part of that chapter. If you've been in the Word much at all, it's a familiar passage. John 15, I think it's going to be on the screen. I will say something new since the last time I preached here is evolving into the age of reading glasses. And I'm not a happy fan of that. John 15, starting at verse 1. Jesus is speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So this is the last of seven of Jesus' I am statements in the Gospel of John. Each one of these uniquely points to his divine identity and purpose on earth. So really quick, Jesus in this passage, he's talking about this vine dresser, this vineyard. So he's referencing a story in the Old Testament back in Isaiah. We don't have time to look there, but if you want to mark down Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7, the prophet Isaiah is talking to God's people on behalf of God. That's what prophets did. And he's comparing the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, to a grapevine. And culturally, the grapevine to the people of Israel, or God's people, was a source of pride. It was kind of like our stars and stripes, like our flag, like we hold to that. That's a source of pride for us. The grapevine was a symbol of pride for the nation of Israel. Like they had their coins molded in the form of that. All this, I could go into details, but I don't have time. So the prophet is speaking on behalf of God, and he's painting this picture. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. That God plants this vineyard, and he plants it in a fertile place. Essentially, he is creating the perfect environment for a vine to grow. Like God has done all this for his people so that they would produce grapes, so that they would produce fruit. But he says, listen, they didn't produce the fruit that was expected. So, because they didn't produce the fruit, Isaiah continues and speaks on behalf of God. And God says, I will remove the protection from the vineyard. I'm going to hold back the rain. I'm going to allow thistles to come. And eventually, it's going to be destroyed. Because you did not produce fruit, I'd pave the way. I'd clear this incredible, fertile, protected ground. And you didn't produce the fruit. So it will eventually be destroyed. So coming back to our John 15 context here, Jesus is just hanging out with some of his friends, some of his family, and he's hanging out just a chapter earlier in John. He's telling them, hey, listen, it's going to be for your benefit that I leave. I've got to go. I've got to return to the Father. And they're like, what? They just don't get it. And so now he's setting them down for a little bit of an encouragement. Hey, guys, do you remember the teachings in the Old Testament, which they would have, how Israel was described as a vine that was intended to produce healthy fruit? You remember that prophecy? Well, guess what? I'm the vine. I'm the true vine. And unlike the nation of Israel, which did not produce the fruit, I'm not going to fail. I got this. And I know this doesn't really make sense to us culturally when he's talking this kind of language, but this is like one of those, oh no, you didn't, kind of moments. Like you did not just, whoa. It was a radical statement that Jesus is making that these guys would soon find out is absolute truth. This is the picture that he's painting. So here's the point. God is our vine dresser. Jesus is our true vine, and we are the branches. And what this means essentially is our primary purpose for existing, for being created, is to produce fruit for our vine dresser. That's the picture Jesus is painting here. So if you get nothing else out of today, get that. Your life is not about you. Your career, your kids, your family, your social status, it's not about you. It's not intended to be about you. We were created for the purpose of producing fruit to bring glory to God our Father. And Jesus, the true vine, provided the absolute only way for this to happen. And the picture is that we would become healthy branches with Jesus' sap running through our veins. Like that's the picture that he's painting here, so that we would produce fruit for his glory. Let's continue on in John chapter 15, starting at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do, what's that word? Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What sticks out from that passage? Hint. It's mentioned 10 times in 7 verses. Abide. Abide. Do we grasp what that word means? Definitively, it's to live, to continue, to remain in or with, to remain united with him, one with him in heart, mind, will, soul. Does that sound familiar? Maybe the great commandment? To abide in. And when you look throughout Scripture, when the Bible is referencing someone who has been saved by God's grace, They refer to them as being in Christ, right? Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's a very, very deep word. So I want to look at a few aspects of what abiding in Jesus entails. Number one is this: abiding in Jesus is essential for all believers. For all believers. It's not meant to be this elite level of spiritual maturity for pastors and for elders and for Sunday school teachers and small group leaders and D28 leaders. It is the intended posture for all believers. Anyone who would say that you are a follower of Jesus, you are should be compelled to abide in him. 1 John 2 will be in this book a little bit as well. John says, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he, say it, abides in him ought to walk in the same way. Some translations say manner in which he walked. It's synonymous. Abiding with is synonymous with knowing Jesus. Not just knowing about Jesus. Knowing Jesus. And later in that passage in 1 John, he uses the word remaining, referring to those who would have eternal life. It's a heavy word. So biblically, abiding in, remaining in, knowing Jesus, they're all references to the same thing, salvation through Jesus. Don't miss that. So when we go back to our John 15 passage and Jesus is having this conversation, he's like, listen, drawing life from me is not optional. It's not extra credit. It's not the icing on the cake. It is essential. It is vital to your purpose on earth. And without that vital connection to Jesus in salvation, then there is no life and no productivity. It's a pretty clear analogy, right? I mean, it doesn't take rocket science to see the connection. Are you seeing it? Heavily important. Second aspect of abiding in Jesus is there's a clear separation of healthy and withered branches. Clear picture in this passage of the branches who abide in, remain in, know Jesus, and those who don't. And it's pretty clear what happens to the branches who aren't abiding in Jesus. They're cut down. They wither and they die. And so, practically speaking, these are the unsaved pretenders, cultural Christians, whatever you want to call them, who mimic an attachment to Jesus, but have never drawn life from him. This is the surfing through the social profiles, but never really, truly knowing Jesus. We've come, as the story was, we come on Christmas, we come on Easter, we go through some motions, but there's a difference between going through motions, being able to talk the talk, clear difference between that and living a life of obedience, living a life of vibrancy for the cause of Christ, knowing that our purpose is to glorify God. Clear difference. And in the end, Scripture's clear. The pretenders will be seen for what they truly are. And this faux intimacy is revealed. Third aspect of abiding in Jesus is that eventually fruit will produce. When we are abiding in Christ, remaining in, pressing in to Jesus through the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, fruit will grow. It will happen. And here's the distinction. Abiding in Jesus is not what saves us. Doing more, attending more, memorizing more, giving more, serving, whatever. That's not what saves us. That's not what produces the fruit. It can be enabled to produce fruit, but the root of it is this. We are compelled to do those things because of the kindness of God that we've already experienced through His Son Jesus. That's an important distinction, right? But at some point, fruit will be produced. Perseverance will be seen. Again, if we go to 1 John chapter 2, John mentions that if the people had belonged to us, they would have stayed. But since they left, it really demonstrates that they were never really with us. Look at like Peter and Judas. So for a season, it looked like both of them were abiding in Christ. For a short season, it looked like both of them had walked away. But when you look at the ending of the story, we see that Peter was abiding. Judas had never abided truly because he sold him out. And so the difference between those abiding in Christ and those not abiding in Christ really is, when you boil it down to the heart of it, it's the difference between those who are saved and those who are not saved. And I know that's very sobering language, and we'll get to the heart of that in just a second. But why abide? Why? So Jesus is saying this. He's telling his friends, his family. And he's saying all these things. We're reading this, and we're like, man, that's a sobering statement, Jesus. Why? I mean, that's asking me to give up quite a bit. That's asking me to question my circle of friends. That's asking me to question my career path. That's asking me to question my relationship status. Why are you being so harsh about abiding and remaining in? And John 15, 11 is the encouragement of it. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be, what's that word? What is it? Some of you can read. What is it? Full. So that. We want to stop at all the things that God is asking us to do. And we want to say, wait a minute. And in those moments, we lose sight that God has a greater purpose than we want to admit. And we just can't see that yet. But Jesus is saying, listen, abide in me so that I can abide in you. And listen, when you do, your joy will be full. Your joy will be complete. You're going to get my joy. That's the reason I'm saying these things. And when you look at the context of this story that Jesus is painting to his closest friends and family, it's, listen, I am the true vine. There's no other way to have a joy-filled, Spirit-led, Christ-centered life outside of me. You may be in a season where things are clicking. The income's coming in. The kids are happening. The kids are successful. Your life is successful. You may be in a good season, but I'm telling you, it will not sustain you. And it probably doesn't even give joy to you. It tickles the emotions, but it doesn't give joy necessarily. The only way to experience this, Jesus is saying, is to abide in me. Stick with me, remain in me, know me. And yet we, all of us, have that constant pull, right? We have that constant tug away from this picture. So it's crazy to me. Does anybody, you ever wonder why Jesus compares himself to a grapevine? I mean, it's okay to wrestle with these things. I mean, outside of even the comparison to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, why a grapevine? Does anybody know how to make a grapevine? Anybody know how to grow grapes? like those Kroger cotton candy grapes. Probably need some machines to grow those. I'm not talking about those. Like, if you want to go out in your backyard and plant a vineyard, do you know how to do that? You don't go take some grapes and bury them in the ground. What you have to do is you have to get a grapevine, soak it in water, and then plant the grapevine. Because grapes don't produce grapes. Grapes are produced only through grapevines. And so I believe Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about when he's painting this picture to his family and his friends. Yes, it tied into the Old Testament. Yes, it tied into the prophecy that Isaiah gave God's people. But so much deeper than that. Jesus is saying, listen, guys, if you do not remain in me, you will not produce the fruit that you were intended to produce. You cannot go out and do your own thing. If you're not attached, if we are grapes, if we're going to follow that analogy, we cannot go out and produce our own grapes. We have to be attached to a vine. And I'm just saying, if the vine that we are attached to is not Jesus as the true vine, then whatever we are producing in this life is worthless at the end of the day. That's the picture Jesus is painting. Without him as our true vine, without abiding in him, we don't ever discover our true purpose. We search for it. We search for it in relationships, and we search for it in bank accounts, and we'll search for it through vicariously through our kids, and we will search for purpose because it is hardwired in us to find that true purpose. And Jesus is just laying it out. Hey, it's me. I'm him. All you have to do is abide so that your joy will be full. So, Tanner, you guys can come on up if you're doing another song. Here's the question. Are you settling to know about Jesus? Or are you abiding in Jesus? I mean, it's a simple question. It's easy to settle for just knowing some things about Jesus without truly surrendering in obedience and abiding in Jesus. So, as a reminder, maybe you're here and you've undeniably, at some point in your life, you've tasted the fruit. You've tasted God's grace. He's drawn you in. You've given your life to him. You've surrendered to him. And you know, or at least are strongly confident that that's been the case for your journey. But maybe you're in a season where abiding is the farthest thing from your mind. You've gotten caught up in the rhythm of college life. You've gotten caught up in the rhythm of having kids and just a busy, distracting season of life or career or whatever it is. And you find yourself in this season of apathy and indifference and complacency. And you're just kind of going through the motions. But when it comes to abiding, when it comes to wanting to produce fruit for the glory of God, you're just not there. So please, please hear this. We love a faithful God who knew you how you were, and he knows you how you are. And if you look in 1 John again, he is faithful and just to forgive. And so maybe this is a reminder that the Holy Spirit is prompting in your heart right now to listen. I need to produce fruit for the glory of God. And I need to abide in him more so that that can happen. So listen, when you leave here, if this is you, then just make a commitment. Go before God and confess your apathy and confess your laziness or whatever it is. And make a commitment to start taking some steps to reorient your heart to your first love. That may be a prayer, That may be a conversation with a friend or a mentor. That may be a decision. But listen, abide. Abide by getting in His Word. Abide by getting on your knees in prayer. Coming here once a week is not abiding. And it's not even sustaining for us in life. So if you have been there and you've made that decision before and you're just in a bad place, listen, we all get in that bad place. Dark night of the soul, whatever you want to call it, we get there. So right now in this moment, make a commitment before God that you're going to take steps to get back into His Word, get into a small group or a D28 group. Because listen, Tanner's right, man. These stories that are shared are so encouraging. And every one of us has a story to share. Maybe not now, but if you seek the Lord and you want to abide in Him, then you're a story waiting to be told one day by God's grace. And how cool will that day be when you're standing up on this stage sharing how Jesus has changed your life. And it's too easy for those of you who have never really surrendered. You've been drugged here by some friends or some family members, but you have never, we got to be honest about this. You've never surrendered. You've gone through motions, you've thrown some hands up during some songs, whatever, but you've never truly surrendered to Jesus. And listen, it's too easy. It's too easy in our culture to act like we've done this in our souls, and we know deep inside we've never done that. Don't get caught up into that game. Please don't go through life just being satisfied by knowing a few facts about Jesus. He's inviting you to come as you are, weak and broken. He knows this about you. Can't hide it. And when by God's grace we're drawn in and we believe in Him and we repent and we confess our brokenness before Him, it's only then that we truly get to know our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. It's only then. So if you've not done that, and I pray that the Holy Spirit is pricking your heart right now and cutting you, because listen, knowing Jesus, abiding in Jesus is so much better than just knowing some facts about Him. So if you've got a decision to make, there'll be some folks lingering. Find somebody. Find somebody. Abide in Jesus so that your life may be full of His joy. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank You for being a sovereign creator God who loves us in spite of us. You know our deepest, darkest issues and baggage and addictions, and yet in the midst of all that, You sent Your Son to die for us so that we would have life more abundantly through Him in heaven one day. So I pray, Father, that we would be moved, compelled to abide in Your Son. We'd be moved to draw into intimacy with Him, Lord, so that our lives can be changed, so that we can experience that joy, that purpose that we've been longing for. And may we realize that it's, even though it's for our good, that it ultimately is for Your glory. I pray this in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.